Hello everyone, welcome to Channels, the Nextflow podcast. My name is Chris and today I'm speaking from Germany.
Hello guys, I'm Marcel, I'm speaking from Brazil.
Phil is still away, so it's still just Marcel and I. But as always, the Nextflow community is humming with activity and we're here to talk about some of the many things that have come across our desks. So let's get on with channeling the Nextflow community buzz. Marcel, take it away.
Hey Chris, so today we have this very nice new feature. So as you guys probably know, when we mentioned it in the previous episode, one very interesting thing about Nextflow is not only reproducibility, but also portability. So you have all these different compute environments that you can run your pipelines. So be it cloud providers, different HPC job schedulers. And even when it comes to container technologies, you have so many different options with Nextflow, like Podman and Singularity and Docker and so on, Shifter, Charlie Cloud. And recently we have, in the recent commit, we have a new container technology, which is Saurus. So it was a community contribution, which is something I always like to highlight. Like someone knew this technology, liked it, brought the discussion to the GitHub repository of Nextflow. So if you have something that you like, you can either open an issue if you don't know how to write the code, or if you want to get more information about it, you open an issue, you discuss that with us. In the case of this person, which was Marco Della Piede, he opened a pull request already with code and did a contribution. So in the end, the implementation for the support of Saurus, the container engine, to Nextflow was done by him. So this very nice community contribution that I always like to highlight. I think it's very important, not only because it makes Nextflow better, but it's also an invitation for everyone else that if you want to contribute, you can. We are very welcoming to this type of contributions. So why Saurus? So as I mentioned, it's a container technology. You probably have heard of Docker and Podman and all these other ones. So it's a container technology, but it's very specific. It's tailored for HPC environments. So it not only takes into consideration security and all these other things, but also brings some new features. It's not only about being able to use Learn, which is a job scheduler, but a very tight integration that allows some interesting features. So they create automatic SSH support for every container. You can communicate this way. You have some nice integration with GPU, diskless nodes, parallel systems. So it's very nice. So if you're working in this environment with Nextflow, with HPC and job schedulers and so on, I think you should try Saurus. And that's the thing. Like now we have, when I say that we have support in Nextflow, it's just like any other container engine. You open your nextflow.config file. You put your process.container and you tell what's your Docker image. By default, it's going to look for Docker hub, like with other cases. You say Saurus.enabled equal true. It's going to activate it. And here we go. It automatically run your pipeline on Saurus. So it's a very nice contribution. They have a scientific paper published. So if you want more details about the scenario related works, you can go there and read. It's very, very nice. You can get everything in their website, the one that we just saw, like the documentation. So it's very nice to try. And if you have some idea, bring to us, open an issue in a GitHub repository or a PR with some code. We would love to help you to have this support, whatever you like, that's interesting in Nextflow. And this is something that Chris is going to talk about now. So I told the people that was interesting and we have support now. So what we have for us, Chris?
Right, so I guess there are, we're here to partly announce, but partly point out that there are two new stage out mode options available with Nextflow. So the stage out mode directive defines how output files are staged from the scratch directory of the process work directory. So it may be that after processing your pipeline on HPC cluster or in a scratch directory, you want to publish your files to a network shared file system. Or even have your work directory over there. So previously, the stage out mode directives values included copy, which of course is just moving your copied files or copying your files from the scratch directory to the work directory, move, which is moving those files, and rsync, which is when the files are copied from the scratch directory to the work directory using the rsync utility. What's been added now is two new directives. The first of which is rclone, which has been described. I watched a YouTube video about this just to increase my own understanding, but they've called it the Swiss Army knife of cloud storage. And that is, it's a really useful tool and that it can do a lot of different things that really sort of helps you sort of manage your files in cloud storage. So our clone offers a solution for the work directory. It offers a solution for when the work directory is not mounted on a file system. So when Nextcloud is running. It's a feature-rich alternative, I guess is the best way to describe it. So for cloud vendors, web storage interfaces. So it can support, I think it's at least 40 cloud storage products using rClone. So rClone can sort of integrate with these with cloud storage services, as well as, you know, it does have other options for standard transfer protocols as well. But, you know, as one to mention, I think S3 works with rClone pretty well straight away. So rClone has a lot of cool features, such as preserving timestamps and verifying checksums, which is really important when you're moving large files across file systems like this. And it's got a lot of really cool, like I said, a lot of cool features, especially for those who are adopting running Nextflow on cloud platforms. The second new stage output directive is FCP. So output files are copied from the scratch directory to the web directory using this directive, using FCP, which is a slightly different version of a copy, I guess. So FCP is a slightly faster alternative to Unix, the copy command. It handles most common use cases of copy with much higher performance. And it does not aim to completely, I don't think it'll ever completely reduce copy, but it does have some other options that might be quite useful if you are moving files around. Of which I think is probably the most interesting is FCP is optimized for systems with SSD. On systems with HDD, FCP may exhibit poor performance. But either way, I think it's another really nice feature for moving your files from scratch to your work directory or staging them in a different way. And I think it's really fantastic that these new directives are added, especially because there is a lot of adoption of cloud storage now. So having rClone in particular is going to be really, really useful for those that are trying to store their files on the cloud and move them around.
Yeah, I think it reminds us that you can not only run your pipelines in different compute environments, but also different compute environments at the same time. So I could run something locally, something in HPC cluster, something in the cloud. I could have my work gear somewhere else from where the pipeline is running, and we can move this around. So it just reminds us of how powerful, when it comes to portability, Nextflow is. I think it's very nice that we have these new tools. Again, it was discussions that were being held at the GitHub repository of Nextflow. People were discussing that in issues. I think it was Abhinav that contributed one of them in a pull request. So it's very, very nice.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And I think we sort of touched on this already, but it's as simple as setting your directive stage output mode to these new values being rClone and FCP. It's really, really easy to integrate these with Nextflow. So I think that's something that we should really celebrate as well as a feature. But I guess moving on, Marcel, you're going to talk about some improvements to the GitHub repository provider.
Yeah. And as all the previous topics that we mentioned, it's so easy to set up. So we all know that Git has become the de facto standard when it comes to source code version control systems. And we have all these different source code management providers, such as GitHub and GitLab and Bitbucket and all these different ones. And if you go to the GitHub documentation, you're going to see all this different info about setting all these different things about any of these guys. You're probably aware also that Nextflow has integration with Git so that you can, when you ask Nextflow to run something, it's going to look for this name in the current directory for the Nextflow file. But if it can't find it, it's going to look for that in the namespace and the name you had on a GitHub repository. If you gave dash hub parameter, it's going to look in GitLab or Bitbucket and so on, or Gaitia. But by default, it's going to look in GitHub. And that's fine. You just do that, or you give the full URL for your GitHub repository with your Nextflow pipeline, and that's fine. However, sometimes, not only on GitHub, but also in different SCM providers, you may run into a private repository. So how can you authenticate to get that? One way is that inside the .nextflow, it's the hidden folder, you have this SCM file where you can set your credentials for GitHub and all the other ones. But sometimes you don't want to write to a file or have a file somewhere else written with this your credentials. So one thing that you can do now is to use the GitHub underlying token environment variable. So you can store your token there in nextflow. Whenever it cannot find credentials in the SCM file, it's going to look for this environment variable to authenticate you with GitHub and be able to pull this GitHub repository, which is private, for example. But it not only stops there. In some GitHub actions, it's the same thing. You need a token. Some of them, you must provide a token for the GitHub action to work for that repository. And so in the end, having this feature is useful, especially when accessing pipeline code from a GitHub action. So it's very, very nice. I think it's a small contribution that makes it even easier for you to run a pipeline from GitHub or to pull from a private repository, which is the case for many people. So I think it's a very nice contribution that we wanted to bring up today.
Yeah, look, it's fantastic though, isn't it? Because it's nice to be able to store information like this in a way that's you know, it can be much more convenient, potentially coding all of this in into your Nextflow files. So I think having this as, or potentially using this as a an environmental variable is a really nice new feature. It's something that I'll definitely be doing with some of my workflows just to make make things a little bit easier. Okay, fantastic. So I guess it's now we're just going to quickly cover what's coming up in the Nextflow and NF Core communities over the next few weeks and months. The first is the next Bite Size talk, which is being held on January 31, where Fran Bonath, who I mentioned last week, I believe it was, about her transcripts for the bite sizes themselves. She'll be talking about her work to generate the transcripts and how they might be useful in the future. So she'll be talking about probably an expanded view of what Marcel and I mentioned last week. We have the training from the 13th to the 16th of March coming up. So as mentioned previously, it's a new initiative. We will be sharing training in some different languages. I think we have 4 confirmed now. And the registration for that is now open. So if you are interested in learning a little bit more about Nextflow and NF Core, make sure you register so you can be kept up to date. If you head on over to the NF Core events page, you'll be able to find a link to the training and hopefully you'll be able to find the registration form there as well and sign up if that's something you are interested in. As well as that, we do have the hackathon coming up from the 27th to the 29th of March. This hackathon, we will also be supporting local hubs where local community members are hosting other community members to come along and hack together. This is a new initiative, like I said, so it's something we haven't done before. So it's really fantastic that we have these hub sites and we hope that people do support those and actually go along and attend them, because the hosts are going out of their way to sort of book rooms and make sure that everything is available for people to come in and hack together there. So please do make sure you sign up. If there is a hub in your area, sign up and go along to attend. The registration for that will be opening very, very soon, hopefully before the next episode. I'd say almost guaranteed before the next episode, the registration will be up. So make sure you watch out on Slack and Twitter for these announcements, which will be happening, like I said, very, very soon. And it's something we're both really excited about. I know a lot of community members are excited about. So even if you haven't been before, make sure you do register and come along. If you aren't attending a local site, everything is online. So it's, you know, you can join us and gather from your apartment, from your work, from a cafe, come along and join.
Yeah. So actually, I just want to show 2 things that were not planned, but I just think it's a lot of fun. So I just want to show you guys how fun is the NF Core and Nextflow community. So when we mentioned this transcripts from the bite-sized talks and everything else that Francisco is going to talk about, I think there are 2 memes that I left a lot about these things and I wanted to share. So let me see here. So one of them, it's very difficult to share apparently. So let me see here. So one of them is that we've mentioned in the previous episode, like probably all this transcript will be ready. So we were not sure, but you can probably see this now. This gentleman, it's with great pleasure I inform you that I just created a PR for the last buy-side stock. So now we have all the buy-side stocks with transcripts. And another fun one is this one. So like the buy-side stock, the transcript of buy-side stock, the buy-side stock, but the transcript of buy-side stock. So in the end, that's gonna we're gonna have in the bite-size, in bite-talk, and bite-size talk in the near future. So if you like memes, just go to the Slack of NF Core because we are always creating these memes. I think both were created by Francisca. And we're just laughing at these things.
Maybe we should just do an episode about all the different memes that we've come up with and just explain those. Because, yeah, we are both big fans of memes.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, I think we digress. Unless there's anything else you want to cover today, Marcel, I think that's us.
That's it. That's it.
And we can wrap things up.
Yeah, sure.
So with that, thank you, everyone, for coming along for another news and views session with Marcel and I. We hope to see you all again next week.
Yeah, see you guys soon.